Productions. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and I apologize for being so late. So let's get on our call. I was driving in from out of town. First question for the day. Rick, it's almost been 4 months since D-Day, with many ups and downs. As we are both committed to making our marriage work, I can't seem to get this reoccurring question out of my mind. How can one's love swing so violently? One day, she whispers in my ear that I'm a good man and a kind man, and in which she loves, but within 48 hours, I'm an SOB for something out of my control. The AP texted her, wishing her a happy anniversary. Alibi 25 days late, and I suspect a less than serious wish of happiness. Why would the subject of the rain of fire and torment that was cast down on me? We left that morning on good terms, and I've been an SOB ever since. I don't want to hear from this woman, and sure as hell don't want her contacting my wife. I did make a comment. If my wife had not contacted her, then she would have never had her number to continually nag or remind her of the past, probably a bad reminder. My thought has always been no contact, but my wife felt it necessary to contact her and her husband. Now we're reaping the benefits of that. I know I'm the reason for all of this, but incite this woman when I believe we both want freedom from her? So I think she bears some responsibility for this inopportune contact, and I believe the AP got exactly what she wanted, pissing my wife off. And when that happens, it turns our lives upside down. I'm sure I can handle some of this wrong, but can you give me some suggestions on how to better handle the situation? Thanks, Steve. Well, I guess my first comment, Steve, is just remember, y'all would not be in this situation if, for some reason, you hadn't done this to begin. So I would think it, you know, try to be sympathetic. I mean, your wife wouldn't even be in here. So first off, I wouldn't remind her that she did this. She knows that. Stay away from that. It's not going to be helpful for you at all. And second, basically just, I think, showing concern for your wife's pain is the primary thing. She obviously is staying with you and has chosen to be with you in spite of all the difficulties of what you're going through. So one piece you can do is let her know every day that you appreciate the fact that she's still with you. I think just being great and expressing gratitude to her for continuing to work through the pain, she's doing as good as she knows how. If you'll remember, I don't know if you're doing Hope for Healing or anything, but one of the things we talk about is our mate is the one who basically pays the price for our bad choices. So just letting her know you appreciate the fact that she's working through all of this is going to be really important. Second, you can tell her that you think contacting the AP probably isn't a good idea. But at the same time, I would say, but if that's ultimately what you need to give you peace, then go ahead and do that. I certainly wouldn't tell her that she shouldn't. I mean, at this point, you can tell her. You can talk to whoever you want, but is it really going to help you move forward, or is it something that, you know, is going to keep you stuck rotating around this? Because ultimately, what I'd like to be able to see us to do is move forward. But regardless, I appreciate the fact that you're still here with me. And remember to do that every day. The next thing you can do to help her is let her know each day, Steve, what yours are. I think just telling her every day, you know, today it's my intention to walk with God and to love you or to stay sober, whatever it is. And if she wants to talk about the AP, let her talk about the AP. But for you, listen and just say, I understand. I don't know what else to do other than I'm going to be walking and doing what I need to do today. and I'm going to focus on what's going to bring me life. And again, you can say, if you know, is that something that's helping you move forward or keeping you stuck? I mean, you can do what you want. The last thing I would say is, at 4 months, I wouldn't say you're very far along, and you've got a long journey ahead of you. So don't be impatient. This is a process that you're going through. And 4 months is just, it's normal to still be on a crazy roller coaster. I don't know from your post if you've done EMSO, EMS Online, or if you've done Hope for Healing. Hope for Healing has some very specific content about how to support your wife through something like this. So if you haven't done Hope for Healing, I think you would find that to be useful. And I appreciate you writing in. That's a great question. Now for our next question. We've been married 3 decades, 30 years, and it's been 3 years since D-Day, a total shock, and 8 months since EMS weekend. My husband had a 10-year-plus purely sexual affair, struggled with pornography, etc. We sought counseling. I'm sorry, humble and loving. He also started seeing a psychiatrist for his depression. This continues. When we stopped counseling, he did not go to SAA meetings and soon stopped doing those things that were suggested to gain back my trust. There were several inconsistencies within several occasions where I caught him on porn. Every time he was defensive and attacked my integrity. EMS was good. He seemed to get it. Beyond EMS was a plus, but because of our some other members dropping out, we didn't do a thorough job. I kept asking him to go to SAA and share with someone who'd keep him accountable. He would go to a meeting after catching him with porn. The last time I caught him, I asked him how he was doing. He told me he was doing well, but that he had received an email from a friend that took him a porn place. So I would be getting that report. I thanked him for his honesty. What he did not tell me was that he had saved all those from his computer, and I found them shortly after. When confronted, he responded with his usual, "What do you want me to tell you?" The next day, after I had calmed down a bit, I told him that his responses were not appropriate. Once again, he attacked my integrity, and I ended up asking for his forgiveness. He thought I was being sarcastic. His cold indifference hurt me so much, I cried out to the Lord, feeling desperately hopeless. I cannot bring myself to trust him. Now, he is seeing it and going to SAA meetings. A few years after we were married, he decided he was not a believer, but continued to go to church, and many people, including his parents and friends, back home to believer. Our sons, now in their 20s, learned the truth about his lack of faith only a few years ago. Nobody except a very close godly people, not close to us, know about his affair and what I've been going through. Recently, I've been advised to share truth with our sons, their wives, and a couple of close friends. Then love my husband by speaking truth and love to him. Our sons, wives, and friends have no clue. It hurts so much to think about their suffering. I struggle with doubts about this benefits, about the benefits versus negatives of this confrontation intervention. Have I been enabling negative behavior? Will it hurt my husband and bringing healing? Do I wait? I need wise and godly guidance. I trust my loving Lord and seek him with her, for I want his direction. Please help. Plans fail without good advice, but they succeed with the advice of many others. Proverbs 15:22. Well, you know, several things come to mind. Here are your questions. One, have I been enabling negative behavior? I don't know. It sounds to me like you've probably been confronting negative behavior. And, you know, at some point, obviously, if what you're doing doesn't work, you try something different. I have a concern simply because you're only 9 months into the process and you're struggling like this, but it all sounds like something a little bit if he's finally going to SAA. And I think a lot of times if someone finally begins to do what it's going to take for them, the other person has a feeling of too little, too late, and you still can't trust. And I get that. And in some ways, if he's been slipping, it's not like you have a lot of clean time to begin to trust. So I'm not surprised about that. I would want to see how he does with this new resolution and being in therapy and SAA, and hopefully this is something he will stay with. Second, will it hurt my husband and sons without bringing healing? And I assume you're talking about talking to them. Usually, unless there's a really good reason for telling the kids, I don't recommend telling the kids. And unless it's in retrospect, like at 18 months, 24 months, 36 months, but where you have the ability to kind of know where the journey's going, getting the kids involved at this time, my concern would be it would cause a division between him and your sons, where they would feel triangulated, feeling like they've got to support you against their dad. Again, I think there's a lot of benefit kids, but typically in retrospect. Now, the exception to that would be if the two of you did separate, you're going to need to talk with them and explain why the separation. Even then, I wouldn't want to get them overly involved, but I would give them the information of, you know, he's not treating me as a husband should be treating me. There's been some indiscretions. We don't want you to be involved in our marriage, but that at least gives you an idea of what's going on. Later, when we're to the other side, we can give you more details. So something like that obviously is a way to speak with them. But I wouldn't really get them involved at this point, simply because you're going to cause a lot of splitting. And if you're seeing new behavior in him, such as going to a therapist and going to SAA, you want to take more, I think, of a wait attitude. Let's see. I need godly guidance. So, you know, the other thing, and I don't know if he's done this, but I would hope, if he's not done hope for healing, I would want to get in that course simply because it gets him with other men and makes them look at their own, thinking errors, their own flawed thinking about all of this, and helps them gain new perspective. It also makes them work on things on a daily basis. I don't know how frequently he's going to SAA. He will continue to relapse probably, even if he's in SAA, as he discovers kind of what it's going to take. There's a book by Patrick Carnes called Don't Call It Love, and it talks about the recovery path for people who are sex addicts. And you'll find that most sex addicts don't really gain full sobriety for about 2 years. Not that that's an excuse. That's just a statistic. And I think it's because they keep believing in their own ability, which doesn't work. So again, hope for healing, maybe reading Don't Call It Love by Patrick Carnes, and I would hold on telling the kids. Just as a way, I think, again, unless you separate and you do something different, you decide you need to take a different course, maybe before you separate, if that's the path you take, you might let me know. But I think trying to, at one level, if you tell somebody at this point, tell the kids, he's probably going to see it as shaming, and you're going to get, unless you can make sure that he thinks it's a good idea, I think it would probably cause you more trouble than good or harm than good. So thank you very much for that question. I know I hope I didn't ramble too much there, but that's an excellent question. Next, does the fact my husband is a sex addict automatically mean that I am a codependent? Are there degrees of codependency? I know that I'm 100% responsible for my feelings and actions, and I know that my husband is 100% responsible for his feelings and actions. I have been suspicious of my husband for over 9 years of our marriage, But it was never, but I was never able to put it all together until things were just so blatantly out in the open. Would my inability to really connect the dots all these years be denial? Trying to gain perspective so I can determine what I need for a full recovery. I think there are certain aspects of being married to a sex addict that probably frame how you see life. I don't know that it's about denial when you don't connect the dots in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But regardless, the two of you have learned to dance a certain way together around this disease. And so learning about the disease, doing study on that, learning about codependency, I think may give you some really good ideas where you can evaluate that. Some classics on codependency that I'd recommend is Codependent No More by Pia Melody. Another one that I really like is by Al Ells, One Way Relationships. And those will give you some good ideas. You're probably already in Harboring Hope. Harboring Hope also talks about codependency. And I think if you can, the more you learn about codependency, the more you're going to, I think, benefit and just kind of gain insight into what your role or your dance has been as you've dealt with this. I'm sure that 9 years of suspicions in some ways had to impact how you live and how you see him. So finding your own freedom through this is going to be really important, and kind of letting go of not trying, because it's funny, part of codependency is about trying to help the other person rather than trusting God. And it's really maybe in some ways, or can be, more out of a motivation of self-protection. So I would recommend books. I'd certainly recommend doing Harboring Hope. The last recommendation, if finances are an issue, is I'd go to some Al-Anon meetings. And if you do Al-Anon or any 12-step groups, I would recommend books before you make a decision. Either Al-Anon, Celebrate Recovery, or you might also try to see if there is a COSA meeting in your area, which is Sex Addicts, or the Mates of Sex Addicts, COSA. I can't think of a sudden O-S-A. So it's basically the Spouses of Sex Addicts, and you can look that up on COSA on the internet and see if there's anything in your region. Any of those 12-step groups I think would also be beneficial for you. Thank you very much, and I do hope that you can find healing. Because you do want to see what you need for your recovery. Regardless of what he does, this is about finding an extraordinary life. It's about finding new life. And maybe sometimes you've got to learn where you're coming from. We always say, if you can't accept where you're at, you're never going to get to where you're at. So at least you're at where you need to go. I want to thank everybody. Questions, and I hope that you guys will keep bringing questions into the call. And I just want to wish you all a good week. The healing.